Welcome back to the Three Count Podcast. Let me talk to you. Yeah. I'm your host, Dylan Chambers. With me, as always, is the true sports podcast entertainer, Benny Hobden. Ben, welcome back.
Welcome back, Dylan. It's good to see you, mate. And I guess the first thing we have to talk about is congratulations. Thank you, Daddy Dylan.
Daddy Dylan, little boy Chase I had over the break.
Congratulations, mate.
So thanks just settling into dad life. It's
I'm glad I could get a couple of minutes with you. That's tough, right.
It's a little bit tiring. I'm not gonna lie, but you know, a lot of us do it, so I can't complain. But yeah, awesome to become a dad. And well, I bought his first Shawn Michaels t-shirt already.
Oh, I'm just gonna tune out, guys. See you later.
But yeah, so his first pay-per-view is coming up, the Rumble, and that is exactly what we are here to preview now. Thank you for coming back to us. Hope you all had an awesome holiday period. Got a great show for you today. Going to catch up on all the big happenings been happening over the past 2 months of professional wrestling. There's been so much to get through. We'll go through the Rumble card, give some odds and our predictions. And for our first draft of 2023, on the back of Raw 30, we're going to draft our top five Raw moments of all time. So many memories there. That's going to be a fun one. Make sure you follow us on the socials at 3CountPod on Twitter and Facebook, at 3CountPodcast and Instagram. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube, the follow button on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Now, Benny, let's get to it. So much has been happening since we last spoke.
It has been a while, mate. Where do you want to start?
I think, look, we'll go through promotion by promotion. We'll start with WWE. Now, the biggest news, I guess, is Vince returning to the WWE Board of Directors ahead of what's rumored to be a potential sale of WWE. Stephanie has then resigned. Mm. Triple H remains the head of creative. What do you make of all this, Benny?
Well, yeah, it was weird. Like, we had rumors that Vince was going to try and come back, and then next thing you know, we lose Stephanie, and then Vince is back. And then, 2 days later, we thought that they were going to sell it to the Saudi Arabia private fund or whatever it was. And we all thought that was done. And then all of a sudden you hear Disney's talking with them, and then you hear that the Khans are talking. And so it looks like, you know, we are going to get a sale eventually, and Vince is going to be the one that controls it all. But we have also heard rumblings that Vince is starting to put his hands in a few pies backstage, and the talent aren't happy. So I don't know what's going to happen here. It's all up in the air, but as long as they continue to put out a good product, that's all that we care about, really.
That's right. So as long as Triple H kind of stays in that creative role where, you know, he's had backstage meetings with the talent saying, look, it's business as usual for us. Don't worry about what's going on there. You know, there's rumors that Fox are interested, Disney, as you mentioned, NBC Universal, Warner Brothers Discovery, who has AEW as well, yeah. Comcast, the Saudi Arabian Public Investment Fund, the Khan family reportedly interested in just buying it themselves. So
I just don't know. I couldn't see that happening, but
no, well, it didn't end well the last time there was a monopoly in the wrestling business. So no. Hopefully they can keep it apart.
Just on Triple H and saying he's still in charge of all of, you know, running the show. He did make a little jab at that on Raw when he said, you know, this booking stuff isn't as easy as it looks like. So that was pretty funny.
That was good. I got a little inside joke there. Yeah. Now, we had John Cena return to keep his 20-year streak of matches alive. He returned to help Kevin Owens defeat Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn on SmackDown.
It was weird.
It seemed like just an excuse to get him a match this year.
Oh, definitely, right? Definitely. He just didn't look right, did he? He's just sort of, I don't know, he's just got that weird face. It looks like he's had some work done or something. I don't know. Like, I love you, John, but it just didn't look right.
The bald spot. The bald spot was of particular noteworthiness.
The halo, that was crazy. All the memes had the 20 years and had the two in front of the bald spot, so that was pretty cool.
Do you think we'll see him at Mania?
Look, he'll make some sort of appearance. He'll probably be the host, or who knows? You know, will he turn up in the Rumble? Who knows? I could, you know.
Well, there are good chances because, you know, it releases around Mania time. That's WWE 2K23. And who is on the cover? John Cena is on the cover. The story mode is the John Cena story mode. So looking like it.
Yeah, he'll definitely be there.
Yeah. Now, we had the debut of Uncle Howdy.
We have, yeah. Who is it? Well, there's two of them, surely. We've talked about this in length between us, and there has to be two of them because the one that stands in the shadows is different to the guy that came in and gave Sister Abigail, because the mask was different, The face was different. So, look, I think it. You have to think it's Bo as one of them, but...
The Wyatt Six are there. Are the six different Uncle Howdy?
Well, Bray came out and said he is Uncle Howdy. So, I mean, well, what's going on? And then we've also got the Alexa Bliss side of things. So he's helping out Alexa Bliss there as well. So,
So he's a real person.
He's a real person.
He did manage to give Bray Wyatt Sister Abigail, as you mentioned. So there is someone under the mask. We will tune in to find out.
Who do you want it to be?
What's that?
Who do you want it to be?
I mean...
Doesn't matter.
I don't really want it to be... Bo Dallas is the obvious choice, but it's not that interesting, is it?
You better believe.
Edge?
Edge was rumoured as well, but I just don't think it really works.
I don't feel like there's anyone out there that could possibly fit the bill.
If they steered down the Judgment Day storyline with Edge and made that supernatural, then it could have been Edge, you know what I mean? And they could have sort of done something there, but then they ruined that last year anyway, so...
Yeah. Guess we'll find out.
We will.
Making his return to WWE, Bronson Reed, as known in the other
promotion,
Aussie. Big boy. Nice to see him back in WWE. We are going to have Cody Rhodes. We'll be back for the Rumble a little bit earlier than expected, but a lot of people did anticipate that he would be back for this.
Yeah, look, we all thought it was going to happen, but they ruined it, really. Like, still, the pop would have been huge if he just was a surprise entrant.
Absolutely.
Other than say that he's coming back, even though we know it was going to happen, it still sort of took the shine off it for me.
Rumors are there are going to be a lot of surprises, so they felt that Cody might get lost in the mix of it all. And hey, sells more tickets and more pay per views if people know that he's going to be there, right?
That's good point. Good marketing point. Yeah.
One person who won't be in the Rumble is AJ Styles, who broke his ankle at a house show. So
didn't look good.
Get well soon, AJ. Hopefully he'll be back by. Maybe Mania time, that might be optimistic. Broken ankles are, you know, very hard to predict. So get well soon, AJ. We did have Charlotte Flair make her return to win the SmackDown Women's title. Boom, out of nowhere. See you, Ronda Rousey.
14-time
WWE champion. We have news that Money in the Bank is going to be held in London this year. So that's exciting for the English fans out there. As you mentioned, we had Raw 30. We had Brock Lesnar made his way back to ruin the main event. We had the interesting moment between Undertaker and Bray Wyatt. A bit of a passing the torch kind of thing going on there. And Sammy being found not guilty.
That was pretty funny, actually, that little segment. I thought it was good.
That segment was really well done. The tag match was really well done. Although, apparently, that all went too long.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
Not get a cage match.
Which is so annoying, really, because that would have been a great match, I reckon.
Absolutely.
It just ruined it. Like, the crowd wasn't happy. I was sitting there going, what is this? Like, so it was a bit annoying.
If it were me, as Triple H said, this booking thing's not easy. I would have taken time off that main event because it just ended in a schmoz anyway. Just have Brock Lesnar come out much earlier and use that time for the cage match. But hey.
Yeah, and also, did you need so much time to Seth and the Street Profits and versus Imperium?
That went for way too long. I love seeing Kurt Angle, but
nostalgia. Of course, you know, you've got Teddy Long coming out as well. Like, there's all that funniness. You know, the Street Profits both having the ankle lock in front of Angle at the same time. Like, there were so many good things, but it still went way too long.
Yeah.
And you could have had a 10-minute or an 8-minute cage match, you know what I mean? And still better than what they did with 30 seconds.
They could have taken the Baron Corbin playing poker thing down to one seg.
That was terrible as well. But they just had to get all those faces in.
That's right. Now, lastly, Benny, can you tell me... We're quizzing you already. In 2022, which WWE superstar had the most losses?
Seth Rollins.
Seth freaking Rollins, and he's one of the best in the business. So that if that doesn't tell you that losses don't mean anything in wrestling, I don't know what does.
But that's what I like about Seth Rollins is that if he came out tomorrow and won the title, everyone would believe that he's champ. It's not unbelievable for him to be champion tomorrow, even though he's had the most losses all year last year. So that shows who he is as talent, really.
Testament Seth Rollins.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, let's move on to NXT. Now, a little bit going on in NXT as well. We had Roxanne Perez. She beats Mandy Rose. the NXT title the day after deadline. And then what happens the next day? Mandy Rose.
And Mandy Rose got paid.
Mandy Rose released reportedly because of her extracurricular online activities.
Oh, nice way of putting it.
Fan time, I believe it's called. But yeah, she's
not sure.
She made it. Yeah. But she made a lot of money from that. But, you know, will that money dry up at some point? It reports that WWE are interested in getting it back. We will see. But yeah, Mandy Rose turfed and Roxanne Perez, your new NXT Women's Champion. Speaking of new NXT champions, the New Day won the NXT tag titles at Deadline, now become Triple Crown tag champs. Kofi now has the most tag titles in WWE history with 15. Wow. So very impressive stuff by the New Day.
Speaking of the New Day, you just met the boys.
I did just meet the boys. They reunited with Big E down here in Australia. They're doing a bit of a tour to celebrate Binge being the new home of the WWE. So they did a little bit of a spiel in Bondi. They're down at the Australian Open at the moment. But great to see the three boys back together. It was funny, you know, before they started, you know, doing any of the official stuff, they're exactly how they appear on camera. Just like
larrikins. Just
absolute larrikins. Like Big E dancing around, you know, doing his hip thrust all over the place. Looking jacked too. When I met them, I gave him a bit of a tap on the shoulder, said, you know, great to see you up and about, mate. And it's like I just hit a rock. It was.
I did see one video of him, like he was doing the Jean-Claude Van Damme splits in the corner ropes and he was just thrusting his hips. I was like, oh my gosh, this is hilarious.
I saw him do the splits about three times.
Yeah, just an agile just
big 2 hours. So good thing. Good to see New Day reunite. Hopefully we'll see them back together again. A new signing for NXT hasn't appeared yet, but Dragon Lee, one of the biggest signings NXT has made. So the highest paid NXT superstar, apparently, he'll be as well. So it'd be good to see Dragon Lee make his way there.
Is he current highest paid or all time?
That's an excellent question, Ben. I will have to call Shawn Michaels and ask.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, get him on the blogs.
Let's just go with current.
Okay.
Now, let's move on to AEW Ring of Honor. Now, obviously, the biggest news coming out of those two is passing of Jay Briscoe, very sad, in a car accident.
R.I.P.
Jay Briscoe. He was in with his daughters. His daughters are reportedly, making strides in getting better. So that's definitely good news to hear. And Mark Briscoe is going to be making his AEW Dynamite debut against Jay Lethal this week.
Is that definitely confirmed now? Because there was talk that he was still banned from television with Warner.
It is confirmed by Tony Khan.
Yeah.
I assume he has the right to confirm it. Now, we won't get into it too much, but Warner didn't want the Briscoes on AEW due to something Jay said 20 years ago, which he apologized for on numerous occasions. But they weren't budging, but a little bit suspect now that he's gone, they're letting Mark onto AEW Dynamite. I'm not going to touch the political side of things, but it's great to see that he's going to go up and have a match there and, you know, do it for his brother. And, you know, Jay Lethal obviously close with them as well. So that will be good to see.
Yeah, should be a good match.
Now, I didn't know much about Jay Briscoe until the past couple of years. But you can see he's just had like a widespread impact. So, you know, a lot of WWE guys, obviously a lot of AEW guys, you know, wearing the J bands or the Briscoe bands or the Dem Boys brands. And, you know, Kevin Owens was doing the main event. He got a mention, Michael Cole, I believe, mentioned at the start of SmackDown. So widespread love for Jay Briscoe, helped a lot of people along the way.
Along the indie way, yeah, like Seth Rollins as well put about big tribute to him and stuff like that. So definitely touched a lot of people.
Absolutely. And, you know, some of his, you know, the stuff he'd done lately, you know, with FTR and some of those tag team matches were just incredible. Yeah. I urge you, if you haven't seen them, you know, go and kind of get the past couple of Ring of Honor, you know, pay-per-views and watch them. They are just absolute classics.
Dem boys.
Okay, moving on. AEW has a new look, a new set. What do you think, Benny?
Didn't really faze me, to be honest.
They've gotten rid of the heel and face tunnel, and they've gone with kind of a generic WWE kind of look now.
Tony's getting ready for when he buys WWE. So, you know, he's just got to get that set.
I will say, you know, the tunnels were cool, but I was kind of done with them.
Yeah.
So good to see something. It's not very different per se, but it's kind of getting with the times. We had the Elite. They won the Trios titles after the best of seven series with Death Triangle.
Some good matches.
I think the last one was maybe a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah, it was.
But, you know, they got the job done. The Elite Trios champions once again. Some other titles moving hands. We have Darby. Samoa Joe for the TNT title. And he's just defending it every day. Every day.
Yeah.
Every day. Just getting beat. He's just going to go to the walls. Wheels fall off, as he said.
It's the new 24/7 champion.
That's right. We had Adam Cole made his return, which was very exciting stuff for Adam Cole fans.
It was a bit of a weird one, though. Like, I didn't, like, the crowd were popped, but they still fell flat. Like, it just didn't feel like a real sort of thing. I don't know what it was. But yeah. you did see the stuff of them. Like, nobody knew about it. Like, not even the commentators or anything. They snuck him into the venue, and it was a real, like, hush-hush thing. So, like, for that to happen, there was no pop from the commentators on the screen either and stuff like that. I thought there would be more. Just sort of fell flat for me, but, you know, I love Adam Cole, so I'm glad.
Do you know what I think it might have been? Like, I get that it was the joke of Shivani saying, you know, I'm not really that excited to introduce this new person, but don't have that. Just come back from an ad break and just, you know, the crowd's all quiet and then just bang. You know, it's all about the...
That would have been good.
That's just my two cents. You know, Adam Cole returns, but we're going to see a hiatus now from FTR. They've dropped all their belts, and it seems they're going to take a little bit of time off. They've been working pretty hard.
Yeah, and they also said that now that Vince is back, because their contracts are up soon, I think, and they were saying that now that Vince is back, it's going to make them hard to think about going back to WWE, because there was talks that they would go back to WWE. So that's an interesting spanner in the works for them, I think.
It is, yeah. So we'll see what happens with FTR. I don't imagine they'll be gone for too long. I think they're like, maybe I'll spend some time with their families, but I think they're the kind of guys that wrestling's just in their blood and they're going to need to do it.
Yeah, well, Dax has got his podcast going strong. So shout out to Dax's podcast. And
absolutely.
We'll get a chance on it.
Absolutely. Maybe one day. Now let's look back. We had plenty of title changes at Ring of Honor Final Battle. Title changes all over the place. We had Athena winning the Ring of Honor women's title against Mercedes Martinez. You're not a fan of Athena?
I'm not at all, no. You can tell by the facials. For those only listening on the podcast and not watching on YouTube, my face just Dylan said it all then, just then. So
I don't mind it. You know, the Ring of Honor women's title feels like a middle title to me of like AEW kind of. So I don't mind it. You know, give her a bit of steam. You know, she's doing this heel character now. We'll see if that gets over. We have people winning back their belts. So Claudio Castagnoli wins back the Ring of Honor title. Wheeler Yuta wins back the Ring of Honor pure title. Kind of a bit of flip-flopping there. But so that was fun to see. And then, obviously, the Briscoes defeated FTR for the Ring of Honor tag team titles. So Mark Briscoe is now a tag team champion. His brother is no longer with us. I wonder what happens there.
You'd think he'd just have to, unless if he gets somebody else as a partner. But you'd think
that would be a hard one to figure out, you know, who would live up to that.
Yeah.
That's a discussion for another day. We have plenty to get through. Lastly, we'll go to New Japan. It's all about Wrestle Kingdom. Such a great pay-per-view. You know, I hadn't seen a Wrestle Kingdom all the way through before.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun. And Sasha Banks made her debut, now known as Mercedes Moné. She came out after Kyrie's successful title defense and challenged her.
That hairdo was something, wasn't it?
That is something. I was like, is that the lights? No, that's just...
No, that was the hairdo. That was crazy.
Incredible stuff there. Well done to Mercedes's hairstylist. We had FTR. They dropped their IWGP tag titles to Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi. We had Tama Tonga defeats Carl Anderson for the Never Openweight title. Not surprising there, but that was actually a really good match.
Yeah.
Now, I'll kind of flip what were the matches on the card here. Now, we had Kazuchika Okada became the seven-time IWGP champion. He beat Jay White. That was a pretty good match, but it was really hard to top. Kenny Omega defeating Will Ospreay for the IWGP US title. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's probably one of the best five matches I've ever seen.
Yeah. It was pretty brutal as well.
It was brutal.
Yeah. It didn't have like their usual sort of, as Braun would say, flippy floppy as much stuff. It was sort of more hard hitting, like in your face, like there was a real story to tell there between the two.
Those two guys beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
So, absolutely.
You expect from those two as well. Like you expect them to go at it, like with the whole changing of the guard in New Japan and stuff when Kenny left. So Will Ospreay sort of picked up the mantle for a while there. And now Kenny's just come back and taken the title again. So
yeah. But if you haven't seen it, please go and see it. Incredible match. I like what New Japan does with their press conferences. They do like pre and post press conferences of all the matches. So it's a lot of fun. And like they're for the pre one, they're both there, kind of going back and forth, which is fun. And it was good to see, I like Kenny Omega, he speaks in Japanese and just kind of gives Will Ospreay a bit of shit for not speaking Japanese.
I didn't actually see the pre one, but that's pretty cool. Like just to have a go at him because the fans will just go to him even more with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Good stuff there. All right, Benny, that is what has been happening. There's a ton of it.
A lot, mate. A lot.
A lot. Now, time to get into the Royal Rumble. It's quiz time, Benny.
My favourite, the Royal Rumble.
Your favourite time. Now, Royal Rumble, it's been around since 1988. This is making it the 36th Royal Rumble. Now, a WrestleMania title shot wasn't always on the line. What was the first year that stipulation was added and who won?
That was 1993.
Correct.
That was Yokozuna.
Benny, off to a flying start.
That was, but that's one of my first Rumble memories, really. Like, that's, I remember watching that because Macho Man hit the elbow drop and then tried to pin Yokozuna in the Royal Rumble. And he kicked out and forced Macho Man to go over the top rope.
We have spoken about that. All right. This year, the Rumble is being hosted in San Antonio. How many times has San Antonio hosted the Rumble before?
Oh, that's not something that I would possibly know, but I'm going to say three.
Bang on, Benny.
There we
97,
go.
2007, and 2017. So this will be the fourth time. Now, of those three times, I'll give you a bonus point if you can tell me who won each of those three Rumbles. Now, I will give you a hint. Two out of the three winners are from the state of Texas. Yeah.
Stone Cold.
Yes.
And what was the other year?
2007 and 2017.
2007. Nah, I'm lost there. Was it Taker?
There you Undertaker go. In 2007, 2017. One of your boys, Randy
Orton. Randy Orton, yeah.
There you go. Now, 15 men so far this year have declared for the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
How many of them have won it before?
I haven't even seen who's declared. I'm sort of staying away from it, so they're all shocks for me. But I'm just having a quick think who's in there. Maybe one?
Four of them.
Really?
So we've had Drew McIntyre.
Oh, Drew, is Brock declared?
Brock has not declared yet. Seth Rollins has declared.
Right.
He's won it. Sheamus has won it. And Rey Mysterio has won it.
What's Rey Mysterio doing in there? He doesn't need to be in there. See, now you've ruined it for me. I'm waiting for the pops. I don't want to know who else is in it.
Okay, that's as far as I'm going. This is a gimme. Who has the most Rumble wins?
Stone Cold?
Stone Cold with three, yes.
Yeah. Cool. I thought you were trying to confuse me. I was like, hang on a second.
Who has spent the longest time in a Rumble, not including the greatest Royal Rumble?
All to, like, as in from over so many?
No. In a certain year.
Oh, Rey Mysterio?
Rey Mysterio, 1 hour and 2 minutes in 2006. Yeah. He won it from the two spot.
Yeah.
Okay, last question for you. There are only three wrestlers to enter the Royal Rumble as champion. Who are they?
Brock.
Mm-hmm.
Was Hogan one of them?
Mm-hmm.
And Roman?
There you go.
Yeah.
Benny killed it today.
Hey.
Absolutely killed it. A+. All right. Let's get into this Royal Rumble card. We will kick things off with the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match. Bray Wyatt against LA Knight.
What do we say? Like, we don't know what it is.
We don't know what it is. I've got Wyatt at $1.55, Knight at $2.30, which isn't that far outside.
Well, you got to think if LA Knight wins, it's got to be some sort of Uncle Howdy thing. Do you reckon it's going to be filmed in, like, night vision?
I think it's just going to be kind of one of those, like, lights out matches where the lights are just dimmed low. They can't have it in the dark.
Well, they could if they have it backstage and then they film it with night vision and only show it on the screens to the crowd.
Yeah.
Because remember they had, like, the boiler room brawls back in the day and that kind of stuff? Like, so if it's just, like, from those night goggle visions with, like, it's all green and weird and black and... You'd, like, we don't, because Mountain Dew's green, you know.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the night visions, I don't know.
So do we see the night vision and then LA Knight's just...
Yeah.
Not knowing where he
is. He doesn't know what it, but and Bray will be able to see in the dark or, I don't
but
know.
But we can also see that there's, like, Bray and Uncle Howdy
we
and
can,
whoever around the ring.
Everybody, yeah, we'll be able to see everything.
Okay, there you go.
I don't know.
We don't know.
Out loud.
I
think I'm going to go with Bray because I love Bray.
I think The Fiend wins this one.
The Fiend, okay.
Now, well, Wyatt did mention it's not his fault who walks through the door at the Royal Rumble, so...
Yeah, okay.
That's what I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. So, Wyatt for me. Moving on, the Raw Women's Championship match, Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Belair paying $1.14, Bliss $4.75. What do you think?
Look, I'm going to go with the money. I don't want to. I think Belair wins, but Bliss has been doing a good job. This whole weird stuff going on with her and stuff like that. She's put out a little bit of a darker side. Well, not darker, but like more brutal, as we love to say, brutal side to her. So I like it. I think it'll be a good match still. I think she'll push Belair, but Belair's just too strong and will win.
Yeah, I've unfortunately got the same. You know, I'm a huge Bianca Belair fan. but yeah, Bianca for the win. I sure could say Alexa. I think Belair needs the title going into Mania.
Yeah.
I hope we do get some fun supernatural stuff. Maybe Uncle Howdy does make an appearance. Maybe he costs Bliss the match. I don't know. But there you go. There's just a possibility for you. The undisputed WWE Universal Championship, Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens, Reigns $1.14, Owens $4.85. I've got Reigns winning this one. While Owens, I think he deserves titles. Reigns is holding both until WrestleMania, I think. I think Sammy's going to interfere and help Reigns retain.
Yeah, I'm pretty much with you there. I'd love if so. You know how the tag titles now have been split up essentially. If the titles were split up, then I'd say KO wins this. But because it's for the undisputed Universal WWE Champion, World Star, whatever they name it, 15 different things. Roman goes on to win and. It will be interesting to see what they do with Sammy. If he helps Roman win, or does he, you know, almost cost Roman? It'll be interesting to see.
Does Roman overcome some bad interference from Sammy?
Does Roman win by DQ, which then causes that rift again between them? Like, why did you have to do that, Sammy? I could have done it on my own. You know, you didn't have to hit him with the chair or whatever it is, like that kind of thing. So, yeah, that's the way I'm going with it.
Sammy's just made this bloodline thing so much more fun.
It has. It really has been good. And the fact that Jay's now turned and Jay's on his side and stuff like that, it's the dynamic of it. It's been really good.
I thought it was done for in that Sami Zayn trial. But
It was a swerve when they turned around and Jay was like, whoa. I was like, yeah, nice. This is cool.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on to the Women's Royal Rumble match. We've had 7 women declare so far. Now, I'll go through some of the favorites, some of the kind of outside interesting ones, and then we'll get some predictions and also who we'd like to see enter and who we'd pop for. So we've got Rhea is the favorite, overwhelming favorite, $1.72. We've got Becky at $4.50. Raquel Rodriguez. Is she still Raquel Rodriguez?
You never know with WWE.
Never know. At $10, Bayley at $13, Naomi at $13, and Charlotte at $15. Now, some of the kind of outsiders which are interesting: Bayley at $17, Belair at $23, Rousey $26, Sasha Banks at $31. That's optimistic. Lita at $41, and Mandy Rose at $51.
Mandy be interesting.
Yeah. So let's go before we get predictions. Who would you pop for? Who would you love to see come out?
No, not necessarily pop four, but I think somebody like a Nia Jax coming in would sort of like be like, oh, she's back.
Absolutely.
The problem is with the Women's Royal Rumble is there's not enough women essentially, and as they've been building it up, like the first couple had to have so many old stars come back. So we've already had those pops. And then you've had people like Michelle McCool come out this week and say, it's happening just down the road from my house and I didn't even get an invite. The Bellas look like they haven't even possibly been talked about on Raw this week or anything to do with the Rumble.
Bella's got beef with WWE now.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think they'll be there. Obviously, I would pop for Sasha if she did come out. I think just Becky. I love Becky.
Yeah.
So I think Becky's always good.
I'd pop for Trish. Always pop for Trish. Mandy Rose, I would pop for.
Yeah, you love
Mandy. Absolutely, that would be. And here's my kind of outsider who I'd pop for. AJ Lee.
Yeah, okay.
If I heard the AJ Lee music, I would pop for that. All right, Benny. The big question, who's going to win this one?
Oh, look, I've been on a rear bandwagon for ages, but I hate it when it's an overwhelming favorite like that because it's not shocking. And I think Raquel Rodriguez and Rhea definitely come blow to blow at some stage. They'll probably be in the final four. I think Becky will probably be in the final four. And maybe, I don't know, who else? Maybe an Asuka. That's who I'm sort of thinking.
Well, I feel like we didn't really get the payoff for Becky and Bayley. So maybe they just go to blows and just eliminate each other. Yeah. Or they're the last two.
Okay.
But I kind of looked at this as like, okay, you know, Rhea's the favorite. Becky's the second favorite. Let's break it down. I'm torn between these two. What if they win it? All right. If Becky wins, she has to take on Charlotte. They're both faces now. I don't think that really works. Or she takes on Belair, but we've seen so much of that. If Rhea wins, you either go, she takes on Belair, be a great match. Maybe she dethrones her. Or she takes on Charlotte and runs the clock back and tries to get revenge for Flair taking an NXT title at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I like that.
Both those make way more sense to me. So, yeah, I'm going with a favorite Rhea here.
Yeah, well, we're both on the same one.
Oh, we haven't thought any differently yet, Benny, but I think we might hear for the Men's Royal Rumble. 15 have declared, as I mentioned, there's 30 men, so still 15 more to go.
Yeah.
Let's look at, there's plenty of odds there. If you enjoy gambling on the Royal Rumble, get over to Sportsbet. Gamble responsibly. But
do it responsibly.
There are so many odds. Like you can gamble on the final four, the entry number of the winner, the brand of the winner, the most eliminations. Who's going to spend the longest in there? We're not going to go through all of that, but we'll go through. Cody is the favorite to win at $1.77. Sami Zayn at $3. The Rock at $3.50. Then you got Steve Austin, $10. Rollins, $15. Reigns, $17. McIntyre, $19. Now, some of the outsiders, we've got Brock Lesnar at 23, Logan Paul at 26, Bron Breakker at 34, Edge at 41, Cena at 46, Goldberg and Shane O'Mac both at $101.
I think it's funny that there's odds for Reigns. Like it's saying that he's going to lose the title. So if he loses the title to KO, then he'd probably come into $1.01 to win the Rumble. You know what I mean? So,
absolutely. And there's still another pay-per-view in between Mania and then. So what if he drops both titles and wins the Rumble?
Yeah.
And wants them both back.
So it's funny you mentioned Stone Cold as well. So before the last probably 4 days, there's all this Stone Cold talk come out because they've said that they've offered him big money for a Reigns match or whatever. But literally, if we did this podcast a week ago, there was no talk of Stone Cold and he was going to be my surprise entrant. I've been saying it to people around me. I think Stone Cold will be in this year's Rumble.
Well, I've got some extra odds for you here, Benny. Odds to enter the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Logan Paul at $1.12, almost a lock. Mm-hmm. Edge at $1.20. Austin is only $1.40.
Yeah, so he's definitely going to be in it.
Bad Bunny, $1.67. Pat McAfee, college football season's over, at $1.75. And we've got Jay White at $4.
That'd be cool.
That would be very cool. So...
The funny thing with the odds that I find there is how much was Edge?
$1.20.
But he's paying $41 to win it. That's good. Like, if you're going to do that, you know what I mean? So
good money.
Yeah.
Go the double.
Has won it before, though. So, I mean, you know.
That is true. Who would you pop for, Benny?
Oh, well, I'd definitely pop for Stone Cold. Even though I wasn't a Stone Cold fan, I would pop for Stone Cold hard. trying to think of other people to try and come back or in other.
Well, I mean, although he's also heavily rumored, you'd pop for The Rock.
Oh, you would, but
pop for Kurt Angle if he were to jump in.
I know who you'd pop for, CM Punk.
Well, I was going to say because that's not going to happen. I was sure ones that were actually possible. I'd definitely pop for Jay White. I'd pop for Matt Cardona.
Yeah, well, there is a rumor, so that'd be good.
I'd pop for Uncle Howdy.
Would you?
Uncle Howdy making his entry into the Rumble? Very interesting.
Or does Bray Wyatt do the three faces of Foley and just come through as The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, Uncle Howdy, everybody else?
Maybe. Here's an interesting one for you. It was going to be in the quiz, but I took it out. Which superstar has had the most gimmicks in the Royal Rumble over the years?
Oh, well, you'd think Foley, but I feel like it's a trick question.
Foley has four, but there's someone with five.
Oh, Jericho?
It's actually The Godfather.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's had Karma, Mustafa, Papa Shango, yeah. The Godfather, and The Good Father.
Yeah, okay.
So you got five for The Godfather. Anyway, Zion Quinn, I'd pop for too. Just a bit of a homer pick.
I don't think he'll be in there, but yeah.
No, I don't think he will either. Who's winning it, Benny?
It's hard to go past Cody. I'd love Seth. I don't know. This is the problem with WWE at the moment. Roman Reigns has ruined everybody for everybody. So. I'm trying to think who the best fit for him, but he might not be champ. But I'm going to stick with, I think Seth Rollins will win it again.
Seth Rollins, all right. I've got Sami Zayn winning this. Mm. This has been building and building. If they play this right, we'll get another Daniel Bryan-like WrestleMania moment. I think Cody will still get his shot. Maybe he wins at Elimination Chamber. I think it's too, like you said, it's too obvious to take Cody. I don't think they need to have him win it here. He can certainly, you know, get a shot any other time. But I think Zayn winning and like just the chaos that it will cause within the bloodline is going to make it so much more of a fun story.
Yeah, I like it. I do like it. It'll be funny. Just on another pop, I know he probably is not fit enough yet, but Big E would be a pop.
Absolutely. He looked pretty good when I saw him the other day. So
yeah.
Yeah, that would be
the one. Will we get a Kofi entrance at all? And well, I wanted
to spend a bit of time with Kofi and ask him if he had, you know, a spot worked out already. Obviously he wouldn't tell me what it was, but
yeah,
I'm sure he has his special spot. Hopefully he doesn't botch it this year.
Yeah, true.
All right, it is time, Benny, for the 3-count draft. Raw is 30 years old and we're going to pick our top five Raw moments. We're going to draft our top five Raw moments from the past 30 years. A lot to go through. There have been so many great moments.
How many did you get your list down to, honestly?
I got it down to about 20 in the end.
I got mine down to 13, and they're not even probably some of the greatest. They're just things for me personally that made it the greatest. So
that's kind of where I went a little bit as well. Just some things that really stuck out in my mind.
Yeah, iconic stuff or nostalgic stuff that I think about when I think Raw. So
absolutely. Now, so I'm going to have to pick first here.
You've got number one, mate. Go for it.
I've got number one. I really don't think that there is a 101 here. Yeah, I saw a lot of lists that have a certain one at 101. That doesn't stick in my mind as one of the things that I really remember. But I'm probably going to go a little bit out of the box with this one. Just one that absolutely is just burned in my mind. It was such a huge shock at the time. I now own WCW, Shane McMahon on the simulcast with Nitro.
Dude, that is my number one pick. That is crazy.
That has just stuck with me. I mean, it was such a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, it was crazy.
It petered out in the end, but
at the time, it was huge.
Can you imagine, you know, Vince or Shane now saying, I now own AEW. Tony Khan saying, I now own WWE.
That's the
magnitude that it was at that time.
Yeah. I think back then it was bigger than what, even if it happened now. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's absolutely just so big. Because WCW was on the down anyway, but
It was huge. And that was, what was that, 2001? So
March 2001, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, the other one that pops into my head straight away was in 1998 when Stone Cold drove the Zamboni in and jumped off the front of it and smashed Vince in between that whole title thing between The Undertaker and Kane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zamboni Austin.
Yeah, that was, like, that's just, and every package you see, it's always there as well. Like, him just, it's Austin. And yeah,
he takes out some of the lights on his way to the ring.
Yeah, it was very good.
All right, very nice. Where to go here?
Don't worry, I'm not going to take your boy in any of the picks, so you can save him for your fifth pick if you want.
Well, there's two boys here with huge, two of my boys with huge moments. I'm going to take one of them with the second pick. That's the pipe bomb.
You could have made it your 10th pick, mate. I was never going to pick it.
The pipe bomb.
I've got it on my list. But
look, I know I'm a CM Punk mark. I know it. But I feel like the pipe bomb changed wrestling.
It did. It did.
And it was just such a monumental, you know, work shoot promos. Is it a work? Is it a shoot? What's going on? You know, he's saying, you know, hello to Colt Cabana, which obviously now doesn't work out too well. But, you know, just that kind of, he's talking about Ring of Honor, talking about New Japan, just was so, you know, revolutionary at the time. So,
yeah,
pipe bomb number two for me.
I like it. All right. Well, my next one is Y2J's arrival. You know, the whole countdown, and then it came, the countdown stopped right in the middle of the Rock's promo and break the walls down, now comes Jericho. That was pretty big because he was like the first one that jumped ship.
That was such an incredible debut. And like that, because that clock had been going for ages and everyone's like, well, it was countdown to the millennium. We're like, that's not the count. It's not going to end at the millennium. What
no,
the hell?
It wasn't. Yeah, no, it was really good.
Yeah, so well done. And obviously they probably could have done it a little bit better with him getting punked out by The Rock, but no better person to debut with. We still remember it.
But the thing is with that is it made him look like a jabroni, essentially, and that's just what his character just was, like that whole don't talk to me like that, like I'm better than you, that, rah, rah, rah. Like it just sort of drove him even more. And
absolutely.
And he did get squashed the first little bit, but then, you know, he was the first ever undisputed champion. So,
yeah,
you know, what did Vince say? You know how the wrestling business is going to shit? We're putting the titles on Jericho.
Oh, that's harsh. Harsh from Vince. All right, where are we going with the third pick here? All right, this is one that has stuck with me for many years. I've gone, you know, 2001, 2011. I'm going to delve back into the 90s, not too far into the 90s. November 1999. You know, we've had plenty of weddings on Raw.
Oh,
but okay. Triple H marrying Stephanie while she is passed out, supposed to be having the marriage to test.
So good.
That was just one of the all-time moments. I remember just being glued to the TV watching that, thinking, this is, you know, a little bit wrong nowadays. You know,
wouldn't fly these days, but that
wouldn't
was
fly these days. Brilliant. But Triple H marrying a passed out Stephanie in Vegas while she is supposed to have her wedding to test, and you know, just that roar she gave, and DX just running wild. I loved it.
Iconic. I loved it as well. That was going to be my next pick. So well done. You've stolen two now. All right, my next one is going to be Triple H also. Now, I tossed up between two here, but I think it's when he returned at the Garden after his quadricep injury. You know, he was on the heights, you know, the two-man power trip with Stone Cold and everything. They were doing so good. Then he was out for 8 months or 9 months or something, and then just debuted at the Garden and the pop. Like, if you listen to that, watch that back, it was crazy. Like, the crowd just went crazy.
Goosebumps whenever you see that, just goosebumps. You know, he was just so fired up, that sick denim like jacket thing that he had. That was so good. All right, where do we go to here? Two picks left to go. I'm gonna go with a bit of a, this just screams out Raw, a Raw moment to me, and you know, one of the highest rating segs in Raw. The Rock, This Is Your Life, Mankind.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
In 1999, one of the absolute highest rating segs in Raw history. There wasn't much to it. It was just a bit of a comedy shtick, but just done so well by those two guys.
I think when they redid it with Bailey and that was pretty funny as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was a good one. That was pretty funny. Anything back then, though, between The Rock and Mankind, that was always so good.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go... there's that obvious one that everybody talks about as the number one, but I just don't want to take it just because everyone talks about it.
It didn't feel like a top pick to me. We'll talk about it at the end, but I don't think I'm going to take it with my next one either.
So I'm going to go, okay, a little bit, Stone Cold when he sprayed them with the beer in 99.
The beer truck. I think that was probably going to be my next pick.
And then you've just got Vince on the ground just like swimming in a pool.
Swimming.
It was so good.
Just vintage Vince.
Yeah.
Them just getting hammered by the beer truck. Yeah, that was absolutely, one of the great moments. All right. Last pick. There's so many great ones. All right, I'm going to have to do it. You said you weren't going to take it. It's actually both our boys. Bret Hart on Raw bearing the hatchet with Shawn Michaels in 2010. It's just one of those things you never thought you would see happen. Obviously, they're a lot older by then. Older and wiser. But just seeing them back together, hug it out. Granted, it didn't look like that great a hug from Bret Hart, but that's just me.
You're so petty.
But yes, in 2010, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels burying the hatchet.
Yeah, I still feel like that was forced. I still feel like it just didn't seem real. Like, even still watching it today, but it was a pretty iconic moment. All right, so I get the pick of the bunch now.
Last pick, it's all yours.
I've got quite a few here, and we'll talk about the honourable mentions, but...
Are you tossing it up between two, or you have one that's kind of standout?
I've got two that I'm tossing it up between. One of them is my boy winning his first title, but I'm not going to take that. Triple H won his title.
The Miz.
The Miz, yeah. this one was a bit controversial, but when Stone Cold broke into Brian Pillman's house and Pillman was sitting there with the gun, and then you hear that massive explosion and it was just like, what's going on? Like, that was pretty, as a kid watching that, you were like, whoa, what's going on?
That's crazy. Like, is this real now?
Yeah, I wasn't sure. It was kind of going on.
Absolutely. Great pick. Brian Pillman shooting Steve Austin.
I shouldn't laugh like that, but yeah.
Sorry about that. All right. let's get to some honorable mentions. There are, excuse the French, but there's a shit ton of them.
Yes.
Rollins turning on the Shield was...
Pretty
that
ironic.
Was probably going to be my next pick, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Tyson and Austin. Austin and Tyson. Was it was a great moment to see them going face to face and going off. Nothing really came of it in that moment. Just iconic to see them both in the ring. Huge one for me was Bischoff being named Raw GM.
I had that on my list.
That would have been, and I think I've spoken about this before, that would have been so much better if they didn't ruin the surprise beforehand. Because he came through in a segment earlier. And Booker T was like, tell me I did not just see that.
They had to get Booker T's pop in, that's why.
Yeah, so there you go. And obviously the one that was on everyone's list, right, was Mankind winning the title from The Rock. Is that what you were thinking?
100%, yeah. But I think that's more of a Nitro moment for me, because what it was Eric Bischoff on Nitro saying, and if you think about changing the channel over there, don't bother, they're going to put the title on some masked freak.
Yeah.
And that's what made everybody turn it over when DX helped Mankind win the title. So
yeah, Tony Schiavone says Mankind is winning their title. That'll put bums in seats.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But Mankind winning the title from The Rock, that was definitely an honorable mention. Cena being drafted to Raw at the time, that was, I think it was the first draft, right? And you know, the champion moves over.
Yeah. And then what, Batista went the other way, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. DX invading WCW.
That was cool.
That was one of the top ones I had as well.
Yeah, that was a good one.
What else you got?
Kurt Angle with the milk truck.
Milk truck, classic.
Redoing the Stone Cold, but with milk. That was good. 1-2-3 Kid beating Razor. Do you remember
that? The century.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. And what else have I got here? Oh, how can you go past the Festival of Friendship? Lister KO. That was pretty cool.
Why is my name on here?
Yeah. But as you said, there's so many. And you can go online and you can go down a rabbit hole of Raw moments if you want
to. I did last night. I watched, you know, I kept seeing The Rock returning in 2011. I was like, well, he's the host of WrestleMania, you know. And then I rewatched it and it was, at the time, no one knew who it was. And there wasn't any talks on the internet or about that it was going to be him. So when his music, they brought all the lights down, they slowly shut off every light in the house and then kind of let it build and then hit his music. And the crowd just went crazy.
Yeah, massive pop.
Edge and Leader's live sex celebration. didn't quite make my list, but it was an interesting moment.
Yeah, that's definitely one for the back seat.
Another Edge one, when Edge announced his retirement, going from a bit cringy to very sad. There was a few retirement kind of moments. He had Flair, he had Shawn Michaels, Daniel Bryan, Goldberg's debut. That was another one that stuck in my head. You know, obviously in the end, it wasn't all that great for Goldberg in WWE, but just to finally see him there after all that time we'd waited.
Yeah.
And just to give, you know, the asshole Rock a spear, that was a good mistake.
Or when Shawn Michaels was joined the NWO, that was another one.
Yeah. Not one of HBK's greatest moments. That version of the NWO after Hogan had turned face, Scott Hall was gone. It did not last too long. And not long after that, that was the famous Triple H turning on HBK on Raw. That was on my list as well. And the last one being Lesnar's return after 8 years in the UFC.
Yeah, that was my... I think we talked about that last year, actually, as one of the returns ones.
Absolutely. So there you go. All right. I have Shane buying WCW, The Pipe Bomb, Triple H marrying Stephanie, The Rock, This Is Your Life, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels burying the hatchet, Benny as Austin driving the Zamboni, Jericho's debut, Triple H returning from the quad injury at Madison Square Garden, Austin's beer truck bath, and Pillman turning a gun on Stone Cold Steve Austin. great fun. So many memories to go through there. But that is it for the show this week. We will be back next week to break down everything that happened at the Rumble. We'll give you all the latest news. Ooh. And, of course, another 3-count draft. Benny, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dill. It's been a pleasure, mate. Good to be back.
Good to be back, definitely. Go and enjoy the Royal Rumble, and we'll see you all next time on the 3-Count Podcast.